It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price, waiting on a winner.
Final numbers and a final decision could still be days away.
That is our top story at noon. The election still very much in limbo as battleground states continue the count.
Truly, we don't know who will be the next president of the United States, and we're watching it unfold before our eyes, and for some people that's going to be really scary.
Political analyst Sean Forman says the results in one key state, the Keystone State.
I think we're going to wait all week until we get Pennsylvania, and it just may come down to those final 20 electoral votes.
Joe Biden currently sits at 253 electoral votes. President Trump has 213. You need 270 to win the White House. Karl Rove, the former White House Deputy Chief of Staff under President George W. Bush, says urban areas like Philadelphia need to be looked at carefully when it comes to vote counting.
I don't believe there's massive fraud where millions of votes are being taken, but I do think there's a problem in these big cities where you better be looking at them or something bad may happen.
The Trump administration has filed lawsuits in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, and Nevada, accusing those states of voter fraud. Adam Laxalt, the former state attorney general in Nevada, says the fraud runs rampant there.
We firmly believe that there are many voters in this group of mail-in people that are not proper voters. We believe that there are dead voters that have been counted. We are also confident that there are thousands of people whose votes have been counted that have moved out of Clark County during the pandemic.
That is the former state attorney general from Nevada. Moments ago, that state becomes the latest state to face a legal challenge from the president, who also wants the votes recounted in Wisconsin. Meantime, Joe Biden says he can wait.
It's clear that we're winning enough states to reach 270 electoral votes needed to win the presidency. I'm not here to declare that we've won, but I am here to report when the count is finished, we believe we will be the winners.
This morning, the Trump campaign was allowed into polling precincts in Philadelphia to watch as workers counted ballots. And we are just getting word that those ballots have now been temporarily halted. The vote counting is now halted in Philadelphia. Former federal prosecutor Trey Gowdy.
There's this battle of competing mantras. One mantra is count every vote. The other mantra is count every lawful vote.
And there are a lot of votes to count this go around. More than 160 million Americans voting in this year's presidential election, and the turnout rate of 67%, the highest in more than a century. Five states have yet to be called. No winner yet in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona. Joe Biden's path to the White House much easier than President Trump's, but President Trump still has a path. Political analyst Ron Meyer.
I think what we're going to know first is with Nevada. Trump has to basically have Nevada at this point or flip the call on Arizona.
Some news outlets have put Arizona in Joe Biden's column. Family Life News has not. President Trump says he thinks he can win Arizona and win it easily. Ron Meyer says if it comes down to Pennsylvania, we won't know for several more weeks.
We're going to have to be really, really patient with Pennsylvania. I think they're going to have to look very, very closely at all these absentee and mail-in ballots to make sure that the signatures match and to make sure all the verification techniques are used to make sure all the votes are legitimate.
Governor Tom Wolf slamming the president's lawsuit to stop the counting in the Commonwealth.
The Trump campaign filed a lawsuit to stop the counting of ballots in Pennsylvania. That is simply wrong. It goes against the most basic principles of our democracy. These attempts to subvert the democratic process are simply disgraceful.
Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani says what's disgraceful is what's happening with the vote count in Philly.
Not a single Republican has been able to look at any one of these mail ballots. They could be from Mars, as far as we're concerned. Or they could be from the Democratic National Committee.
Last night, protesters took to the streets of Harrisburg to call for a fair and open election.
This election is about us, our voices, and our community. We're coming together, we the people of Pennsylvania, to make our voices heard and demand that every vote be counted.
Protests also taking place last night in New York City, Minneapolis, and Portland. National Guard troops were used to break up a mob in Portland last night. Over a dozen people arrested in New York City and in Arizona. Supporters of President Trump voiced their frustration with the ballot counting process outside the Maricopa County Elections Department.
They literally are trying to steal this from us.
Maricopa County, the second largest voting jurisdiction in the entire country. President Trump says he's confident he can win Arizona. All the presidential polling was wrong this year. Again,
CNN had Biden plus 12 nationally, had them plus 12 Michigan, plus 8 Wisconsin. You had the New York Times giving Joe Biden a 70% chance of winning Florida, had him up 10 in Iowa, plus 9 in Ohio. The president won those states quite easily.
Media critic Joe Concha says the polling this year was a repeat of what happened 4 years ago, and the data, well, that's outdated.
As antiquated as my Blockbuster card and my Casio calculator watch. Look, they did it in 2016. You would think they learned their lesson. They did it again.
Concha says the polling used today has become a political weapon, too, by suppressing the vote.
Why does this happen? Is it to create an illusion that perhaps that Joe Biden had this huge lead and why bother going out? It's almost like a psychological suppression of votes in these situations to say, okay, look, you know, Joe Biden's up 17 in Wisconsin. You know, why even bother, right?
Many seasoned poll workers say this week that their industry is finished after getting the past two presidential elections wrong. Control for the U.S. Senate still up for grabs. Right now, Republicans hold a two-seat majority with three races still undecided.
Democrats are going to add to their seats in the Senate, but it's kind of like getting a bike for your birthday is really nice unless you thought you were getting a car. They thought that they had a really good shot at taking the majority in the Senate, and it's still possible, but to do it, they would have to ride that bike through some very challenging territory.
Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill this afternoon. For the first time in the U.S., the daily COVID-19 infection rate went above 100,000 yesterday. Hospitals in the upper Midwest simply can't keep up with the sick.
This is a revolving door. It doesn't stop. The bed is empty, and then it gets filled.
Correspondent Jim Crisula continues.
With COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations surging, several hospitals in the St. Louis area are delaying or rescheduling elective procedures that require inpatient or overnight beds. In the border city of El Paso, Texas, the local health director says hospitals are near the breaking point as COVID-19 hospitalizations rise sharply.
Jim Crisula reporting. Still to come this Thursday, counting the vote in Pennsylvania, COVID travel nightmares in New York, and help for the holidays? Probably not this year.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're looking at a continuation of our warm conditions for days to come. The complete forecast, that's coming up in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, November 5th. Picking a president is never easy, but this year, that task especially tedious. The race for the White House still too close to call in several states. Voters we spoke to earlier today are anxious to have this over.
Pretty uncertain about the whole thing.
I don't want to see our country going into chaos.
I hope everything is peaceful once a decision's made.
President Trump argues the integrity of the election has been called into question in Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Nevada. Let's head to the Keystone State. Legal Eagles say the presidential vote count in Pennsylvania has been seriously compromised.
And the question is, are they allowed to do this counting at all for some of these ballots?
George Washington University Law Professor Jonathan Turley.
Most of the challenges you see in presidential elections are really a game of inches, not feet. you can grab a few votes here, a few votes there. So we look in states where the margin is very, very thin. That obviously is the case with Pennsylvania.
Turley says what's happening in Philadelphia raises some serious legal questions.
When we look at Pennsylvania, there are legitimate objections that observers have not been allowed to observe. This is not like being able to see Denali from 100 miles away. You have to be able to see the ballots.
And once again, the mail-in ballot counting in Philadelphia has been temporarily halted. The polls have been closed for 2 days, but two races in central New York continue.
In the 22nd congressional district, incumbent Democrat Anthony Brindisi says he's not giving up in his bid for a second term. Right now, he's behind 55-43% to Republican Claudia Tenney, who he beat 2 years ago to earn his current position. Thousands of absentee ballots have yet to be counted in that race. And in the 24th district, Republican Congressman John Katko is confident he's held off a challenge from Democrat Dana Balter, yet she's not conceded defeat. Katko has over 58% of the vote compared to Balter's 38%, but there are over 71,000 absentee ballots that remain unaccounted for. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Now to Albany, where Republicans say they've picked up enough wins in the state Senate to prevent a Democratic supermajority in the New York State Legislature.
We are going to count the votes. We are prepared to count the votes. We believe firmly that when all these votes are counted, we will be coming back with significantly more members than we had last year, and more members than certainly a lot of folks across the state thought we would have.
That is Minority Leader Rob Ort. State GOP Chair Nick Langworthy says the state Senate is the only thing standing in the way between Democrats and complete control.
We, as a Republican Party in the Senate, certainly live to have stronger days ahead.
A supermajority in Albany would give Democrats the power to override any veto by Governor Cuomo. Western New York Democratic State Senator Sean Ryan says the whole idea is overblown.
There's no plans for a supermajority. It just gives the Senate a little more oomph in its negotiations. You know, so it's nothing breathtaking, but it's a good extra power to have.
Republicans fear if Democrats get too much control, they'll use redistricting to make the GOP obsolete in Albany. Not good at all. That's how Erie County, New York Executive Mark Poloncarz is saying about the region's latest COVID infection rate. 5% of the county testing positive for coronavirus.
This is serious. And unless we take it seriously, we're going to have continued growth.
County Health Commissioner Dr. Gail Burstein says they haven't seen numbers like these since last spring.
We're seeing many, many more cases now. It's not a good time.
Health officials say they're seeing more young kids and school teachers come down with COVID-19 in Erie County, New York. Just in time for the busiest travel season of the year and a new statewide COVID-19 travel restriction in New York, creating a nightmare for travelers everywhere. The testing mandate is only 24 hours old, and it's already running into trouble.
I have corporate places actually went into one asking about a COVID test. When I explained to them that we were travelers from New York, I was told, oh, no, we only test people who have symptoms. We don't test travelers.
Tim Kuhn of Rochester says he faced a number of roadblocks trying to travel to Ohio to visit family. Governor Cuomo is mandating any out-of-state travelers get tested for COVID within 3 days of visiting New York. While in New York, they must quarantine for 3 days. On the fourth day of quarantine, they have to get another COVID test. Only when both tests come back negative can they exit quarantine. The Salvation Army says the pandemic will hurt what they can do this holiday season. Lieutenant Wayne Benedict says the Red Kettle campaign will take a hit because of the pandemic.
Volunteers have gone down because of some fear of COVID. Our actual bell ringers have gone down, and our actual income is projected to be down almost half of what we usually gain for the kettle.
Benedict says the drop in support comes at a time when folks need the Salvation Army the most for emergency assistance. Let's head on over to the sports desk. Sunny Time, your 2-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with college football, and the MAC is back. Buffalo Bulls are probably singing.
And I'll tell you why. Playing against Northern Illinois, leading 21-16 in the third quarter, then the defense steps up.
Ballers pumps. Lost the football. It's picked up by Buffalo. Terry looking for the scoop and score, and he's got it for the Bulls.
45 seconds later.
In motion, Collins. He lost the football. It's picked up by Buffalo. Isaiah King. And another defensive touchdown for Buffalo.
Buffalo would go on and add a pick six to finish with a huge 49-30 win against Northern Illinois, their first win there since 1999. Elsewhere, much closer against Kent State and Eastern Michigan. Kent State with the 27-23 win. Western Michigan wallops Akron 28-13. Central Michigan barely gets by Ohio 30-27. Miami of Ohio getting by Ball State 38-31. And Toledo pounds Bowling Green 38-3. Thursday night football, will the 5-2 Green Bay Packers actually play against the 4-4 Niners in San Francisco? Well, the problem is San Francisco has multiple injuries and now four players out due to COVID-19. ESPN's Adam Schefter.
They're determined to play it. They're planning to play it. And right now, by all indications, they are going to play it.
And gotta love what happened in Pittsburgh with a long night ahead for workers at the Allegheny County ballot counting site in Pittsburgh. Members of the Pittsburgh Steelers organization lending a hand. Multiple players from the team purchased food, dinner for all the workers at the site last night from the Goose Express, chicken rigatoni, veggies, rolls, pies, and a whole lot more. The Steelers also had teamed up with the local organization to donate 5,000 masks to Allegheny County for election officials at polling places in the area. We're all in this together. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, waiting for a winner. The election is over. The counting continues, plus a closer look at the count in Pennsylvania. And we still do not know who controls the U.S. Senate. Stay close.
Yesterday, as most of America continued to process the razor-thin presidential race, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in what could be a momentous religious freedom case. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia is a case that dates back to 2018, when Catholic Social Services in the City of Brotherly Love was barred by the city from placing foster children in homes unless it changed its policy on same-sex households. Rather than compromise, CSS took the city to court, claiming a violation of the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of speech, and even more importantly, the free exercise of religion. Now, the reason that the outcome of Fulton versus the City of Philadelphia is so potentially important goes back to another Supreme Court decision from 1990. In Employment Division versus Smith, Justice Antonin Scalia determined that a state or local law could restrict religious freedom as long as it does so in a way that equally applies to everyone. So in a way, Employment Division versus Smith turned religious freedom into a subset of the freedom of speech rather than the first freedom that it truly is. Well, yesterday, the lawyers for Catholic Social Services not only asked the court to rule in their favor, but also to overturn the Employment Division decision. This would force state and local governments to abide by the same standard as the federal government and justify any infringement on religious freedom by showing that it had a compelling interest and that it was carrying it out in the least restrictive way possible. The lawyers for Catholic Social Services pointed to incidents in which Philadelphia's Department of Human Services waived its anti-discrimination requirements when it comes to foster care. For example, in certain instances, the department discriminated on the basis of disability or had clearly taken race into account in its fostering decisions. Thus, the attorneys for CSS argued, even if Employment Division wasn't overturned, it shouldn't be applicable in this instance. Well, why then, Justice Coney Barrett asked in response, should the court even consider overturning Employment Division if it wasn't applicable? Barrett, along with a majority of the justices, seemed sympathetic to Catholic Social Services, but hesitant to overturn Employment Division. A ruling for CSS and Fulton that didn't fully overturn Employment Division would be disappointing, but it would still be a big win for religious freedom. After all, this case was argued almost entirely on religious freedom grounds, not on the freedom of speech. And both Justices Kavanaugh and Alito spoke clearly of the need to address the imbalances in the growing number of cases that pit LGBTQ rights versus religious freedom. As both pointed out, we were assured in decisions like Obergefell that anyone who held traditional views of marriage would be respected. We were told that our rights would be upheld. They haven't been. Philadelphia, Justice Kavanaugh said, created a clash with a group that had been taking care of children there for two centuries simply because it was, quote, looking for a fight. Well, given all this perceived animus here toward Catholic social services, it's likely the majority will not need to overturn employment division to still send a strong message on behalf of religious freedom. At the same time, we've already had, as in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, a very clear ruling about government animus toward religious conviction. What we need now is a ruling that protects the rights of religious organizations and individuals to operate according to their convictions, while limiting the government's ability to trample on them. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend almost here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It's going to be on the warm side of the ledger for the next several days. A big jet stream flip is resulting in this warmer than normal pattern in the eastern United States. By way of contrast, in comparison, winter is going to start to wage war in the west. Big snows are coming to the Rockies heading into the weekend. Our call for our area, though, is for warmth. Sunshine this afternoon will be dulled and muted in places by some high cloud cover, but a nice day overall for sure. Temperatures are well above normal by November standards, reaching the 60s and near 70. Tonight, a few clouds and mild, low temps, mid-40s to the mid-50s, and ample sunshine and nice tomorrow and Saturday with high temperatures in the 60s to near 70 degrees.
Okay, Kevin Williams, I got a lot of leaves to rake this weekend. If you are just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Thursday, November 5th, the ballot counting continues in the presidential election, except for Philadelphia, where those mail-in ballots have been temporarily halted. Joe Biden is feeling confident.
We believe we will be the winners. It'll be time for us to do what we've always done as Americans, to unite, to heal, to come together as a nation.
President Trump has mounted legal fights in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada, claiming voter fraud. His personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, was in Philadelphia yesterday.
They're not going to steal this election. This election gets decided by the people. These people, the elite, they don't care about the people.
Well, the president also wants a recount of the vote in Wisconsin. Five states have yet to be called. They include Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona.
Every vote matters and every vote counts, so that's why we're out here.
Protests erupting across the country last night. Portland, Minneapolis, and New York City seeing some arrests. The balance of power in the U.S. Senate remains in limbo this hour. Correspondent Nancy Cordes says we may not know who gets control for several more weeks.
Democrats are feeling pretty good at this hour about Arizona, so that would get them to 48 seats, but then they still need two more to get to 50 and take control. Now, overnight, their chances of securing a second Senate runoff in Georgia improved as that race tightened, so we've got a cliffhanger here when it comes to control of the Senate, and it could last for months.
That is Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill this afternoon. Update on COVID-19. The upper Midwest continues to get hit hard. Doctors in South Dakota say they're being overwhelmed with new patients.
I can tell you I've seen ages of 20s and 30s and 80s and 90s. Some of them walk in, some of them walk out, some of them don't.
That is Dr. Anthony Harris.
This is a marathon as we go through this race that we're just going to have to keep fighting and fighting and fighting to try to make sure that we get through this.
For the first time since the pandemic began, the U.S. recorded over 100,000 cases of COVID-19 in a single day yesterday. Jobless claims are edging lower. 751,000 people signing up for first-time unemployment benefits last week. That was down slightly from the week before.
Even as employers add or restore some jobs, there's still ongoing job loss.
That is economist Mark Hamrick. We are coming up on 24 minutes past the hour, Thursday afternoon, and next at noon, a closer look at the vote count in Pennsylvania. Once again, the Keystone State could decide the winner of this year's presidential election. Here's Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
As the counting continues in Pennsylvania, we talk with Daniel Mallinson. He serves as Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Administration at Penn State Harrisburg. What happens, Dan, in PA if an election is really close?
If the election is close, then it'll take some time before the state will be able to finalize the vote tallies from the counties and certify a statewide result. But they will continue to count the ballots until they have a final result.
Great. And according to election law in Pennsylvania, what sort of margin is needed to win an election?
To have a final winner, you simply have to have 50% of the votes plus one. So you have to prevail with the vote count.
Does that apply also when it's a congressional race within the state?
Yes. So it's whoever has the most votes would win.
Obviously, when it gets down to the wire, there's often a lot of debating, but I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't something that most of us were missing as far as what Pennsylvania election law says about that.
I'm not sure what you mean.
We also cover a lot of the stuff in New York, and I'm not sure if there's a certain percentage or something like that, but it's basically just who has the most votes
right.
before they call
it. It's the same case here. Yeah.
Okay. So we know that election officials were not allowed to begin counting ballots in Pennsylvania until Election Day. With the millions of early ballots, both in person and by mail, that makes for some slow going. The Supreme Court also ruled to allow mail-in ballots postmarked by Election Day to be counted through Friday, November 6th. Do you know if there's a cutoff on the time for the counting, whether it's 5 p.m. or maybe midnight?
There is. They have to be received by 5 p.m. on Friday.
Okay, that's cut and dry. Professor, do you have any advice for Pennsylvania voters as the results are counted?
My advice would be patient. Just because it's taking time to count all of the ballots doesn't mean that there's strange things going on. This is what is looking to be an election with historic turnout, and certainly this is an historic election for Pennsylvania with our first general election with no excuse mail-in voting. So it will take especially some of the larger counties like Philadelphia some time to count all of those mail-in ballots, deal with any challenges to those ballots, and then to certify a final number. So the best advice, I think, is to be patient.
You brought up an interesting point. I'm guessing maybe it's different in different precincts. Election officials run things differently. But what does it look like? Do they have multiple checks and balances? Do they rope off or tie a certain bundle that's been counted?
Yeah, I mean, they each have different procedures. Some counties have actually used CARES Act money to purchase large machines that they're going to be using to process ballots quickly. But they each have a process for tabulating those ballots and storing those ballots.
And they have checks and balances with folks from different parties there to ensure that things are done fairly.
Yes, it sounds like in many counties, if not all, there's never a circumstance where there's a single person alone with ballots. So there's always multiple election workers involved in the processing and counting of those ballots to ensure a fair process.
Excellent. And Dan, do you think there could be, you know, three waves, you know, mostly Biden support for the early voting, then a Trump surge? Do you think that might happen?
Yeah. What is likely to happen is what's being called a red mirage and a blue shift. So far more Democrats are ahead in in-person voting at the end of the day on Election Day, but that vote margin could shrink or switch with the counting of the mail-in ballots. One of the other complications is you talked about how counties do things differently. There are several counties in Pennsylvania that have said that they will not start counting the mail-in ballots until they have finished the process of the in-person voting and tabulation on election night, which means they actually won't start counting those mail-in.
Halted. That could be a big story. Family Life's Bob Price will have much more on that throughout the afternoon. We have to leave you. Before we go, let's stop by the Weather Center one more time. Pretty good weekend ahead weather-wise. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It's going to be on the warm side of the ledger for the next several days. A big jet stream flip is resulting in this warmer than normal pattern in the eastern United States. By way of contrast, in comparison, winter's going to start to wage war in the west. Big snows are coming to the Rockies heading into the weekend. Our call for our area, though, is for warmth. Sunshine this afternoon will be dulled and muted in places by some high cloud cover, but a nice day overall for sure. Temperatures are well above normal by November standards, reaching the 60s and near 70. Tonight, a few clouds and mild, low temps, mid-40s to the mid-50s, and ample sunshine and nice tomorrow and Saturday with high temperatures in the 60s to near 70 degrees.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Finally at noon, Sonny already mentioned it in sports, but it's such a good story. We'll mention it again. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they are not just winning on the field, folks. No, they are scoring points off the field as well. That team delivering meals yesterday to poll workers who are tallying the vote count in the Steel City as we speak. The Steelers players sent those volunteers some pasta, some chicken, and some homemade pie. That is the world we live in for this Thursday. As always, thanks for joining us today. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.